Brand Watch, that show, ESPN 630, presented by Flight by Yuengling, raised the bar to the next generation of light beer. Okay, so yesterday, Glenn Youngkin gave his first address as the new Virginia governor. There are a number of things that are going to be far more headline-grabbing than this one that actually matters to us. He talked a lot about critical race theory and stuff with COVID vaccines and whether there would ever be mandates and whether you should get the vaccine or not and all of that type of stuff. And, you know, that is the stuff that's going to grab way, way, way more attention than what the one paragraph from the Washington Post piece about his first day in office, where there were a lot of executive orders that were executed, than this part, which obviously matters for us. He voiced support for converting the state's existing baseball authority into an entity that could oversee the financing and construction of a National Football League stadium, a plan the Washington football team has been promoting to legislators, although Youngkin did not mention the team by name. He's not talking about anybody else, right?
So someone else moving into Virginia, that's not happening. But
no, I don't think so. Yeah, that's not happening. Mm-hmm. So that is next step. Here comes the stadium. They had to wait through the election. They have the new governor. The new governor on day one says out loud in his address of things he's going to do as like first steps of his governorship is he wants the legislators to pass a bill to grease the wheels to make this happen. And assuming that now is going to happen, because he's asking for it to happen, and I believe the state house is Republican now down there, right? I believe it is. So if that's what's happening, it sounds like the ball is now rolling downhill towards this. I have heard literally nothing at all about the district getting their you-know-what together with the federal government to get the land to turn RFK into Dan Snyder world. And so I think that is, we're almost at the point of it's out the door that it's going to happen. It's becoming pipe dream stuff. Mm-hmm. Maryland would take them, you know, like Governor Hogan wants to do it, you know, like that. Maryland will take them. The reality is now that Glenn Youngkin has said this, it sounds to me like we're going to be hearing about the state of Virginia getting the stadium, I bet within the next 6 months. First things first, this authority thing, which sounds like a formality more than anything, needs to happen. Once it does happen, then I believe the negotiations will begin in earnest about the exact location of it. And it sounds like there are options in Virginia. There are large land plots. Prince William County and Loudoun County seem to be the most logical places for this. I don't think they're just building a stadium. I think they're building a whole epicenter, whatever that means, residential, commercial, maybe a brick and mortar casino for all we know, entertainment center. I don't know. So I don't know what's coming, but I'll tell you what, after hearing him say that on day one, unprompted in a state of the state address on day one, it's happening. So count me in for, I think that mystery is over. Stadium's going to Virginia. It's just a question of where at this point.
No, I mean, I think all signs pointed to Virginia the whole time anyways. Like, at the end of the day, where would it go in Maryland? Like, I'm just asking that out loud.
Well, I think there's options. I think for what Washington wants to build, there are better options because you can get the type of acreage that you're looking for to do this with wide open opportunity in many different places. And I think that, like Jason Wright, Dan Snyder, Tiny Snyder, I think they can have Virginia practically negotiating with itself county by county.
Yeah.
Because I think these county, like they're like Prince William County, I'm imagining that they're looking at this going, if we get this, whether they're right or wrong about it, they believe it'll be a massive economic engine that will come there, and it's a massive opportunity. And therefore, I think they will cut the Snyders a beyond sweetheart deal to put it there. What they need to think about in doing this is, does this alienate or ostracize fans in Maryland? Because that is a trek to get out to a stadium. It's just a long, long, long way to go. Loudoun is different. Loudoun is, it's still far, and you have the same potential issues, but at least there's going to be a metro line that's going out there, and at least it's near Dulles Airport, which people in Maryland are accustomed to going to. I don't know. I think it's got a little better feel to it. I still think this is dangerous for the Maryland fan base, but it feels like the ball is rolling big time downhill, that Virginia's going to do it. And I'm imagining that county legislators in Loudoun, Prince William, and wherever else we're not thinking of are negotiating against themselves to try to get it in their jurisdictions now.
I mean, it sounds about right. And to back up to the Maryland point too, though, like, there's nowhere convenient it would go for what they want to build. Maryland also already has a couple casinos as well, which I think is what's really going to drive this thing in Virginia. Virginia does not have a casino yet, period.
I can tell you where one's going to be.
Right. So that's what I'm getting at. Like, not unlike how they kind of handed Washington the, you know, gambling rights for the first app in Virginia. They're going to say to them, y'all want the first casino to be attached to the stadium too? Because we can do that. You know, we can do that, right? And I have a feeling that's what it's going to be. That being said, you're right, though. That's not going to be in Arlington. They're going to want it deeper in Virginia. They're going to want this is like, it's in the best interest of Virginia to kind of like spread the wealth a little bit. And that means not putting everything in Northern Virginia, which is essentially, you know, a suburb of Washington, D.C. They want to put that sucker deeper in, like you said, like one of the other counties, like Ashburn, like that kind of deep. It's pointed to Virginia for a long time. I just think now you've got someone who's really going to, you know, get the ball rolling, because they want to get the ball rolling too, the Washington football team. They want to get that sucker announced. I'm sure in a perfect world, they have the place where the stadium's going to be, and they announce that with the uniforms and the new name on, you know, on 2-2. But, you know, that's not a perfect world right now. We understand they take time, but it all points to Virginia mainly just because they have the wiggle room to actually give them what they want. I'm with you.
Yes.
It's just pointed that way the whole time. Everyone's held their breath for the RFK site, but that just seems like it's not going to happen anymore. And on to the next one. And the next one seems to be Virginia. The only other thing that I said, which was a dark horse, but I just can't see it happening, was them taking FedEx Field down and trying to rebuild something on that same plot of land in Landover. And I just don't see that actually being a plausible thing that they would actually do. So Virginia, it seems to be it.
Well, yeah, I mean, the other problem with Landover is it is very close to that MGM.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, unless MGM is literally the partner for this with the Washington football team, I think that's probably problematic. And my guess is, I don't know this, but I'm going to guess that MGM has a deal with the state of Maryland that no other company's coming in and putting a brick and mortar casino up within a certain amount of mileage and around them. I mean, I would think was the case. I don't know, but that's what I would think would be the case. So I think that's problematic. Yes, there's a lot of land out there. I don't know if they're going to be able to give them what they want, frankly. And I mean, I've been thinking about the stadium, and I know what they're trying to build out there, and this could be, honestly, because SoFi's close to it. There's a lot of residential and commercial around it.
Yep.
And well, I was just in Dallas, and Dallas, Arlington, where the Cowboys Stadium is and where the Rangers Stadium is, they're in the same, basically, walking distance to one another. They've kind of built this whole brand new kind of town around it. There's a Lowe's Hotel. There's all these bars, all these restaurants. It's all upscale. It's very nice. Like, I know that that's what Washington wants to build. What they could do, though, if they get a plot of land like this, which is a little different than what these other groups have done, they could literally incorporate the stadium into the whole entire entertainment complex. Like, it could be literally connected to a hotel. It could literally be connected to a casino. It could literally be connected to all the commercial stuff. It could be built into it if they really would. That's what I think would be really cool and really interesting if they did it. The danger with that is, you better get it right, because if the place looks kind of hokey, you're going to have a problem. You know what I mean? Like, you almost need the Vegas people to come in and do it right for you if that's what you're going to do.
No, you're spot on. I've always thought, why, like, have you been to the Blue Jay Stadium? To the, what is that?
No, that's I've heard it's nice. I've heard.
I forget what the actual name of that one is. Rogers, maybe?
Rogers.
Yeah.
Rogers Center.
I went to a game there 2 years ago. And all I could think of was, like, how cool is that hotel that's literally connected to the stadium, that you can get rooms that overlook the stadium? Not to say that that's the concept I'd roll with, but I'm with you. Like, there's a way to go about this where literally the stadium is seamlessly placed into a set of other buildings where hey, your blackjack table in your high rollers room overlooks the field. Like, you know what I mean? Like, there's just a way to go about this that I think they have, you know, the world is their oyster, and if they go that route, like, that's one of those situations where they're going to be rolling in it because no one's going to care whether the team's winning or losing anyways. It's going to be a badass facility, and it would look cool. I'm with you. They need to get the people from Vegas. They need to get people that have worked with stuff where they can basically work from the ground up and do it any way they want. I'm with you. Like, there's a number of ways they can go about it.
I mean, like, thinking about the Vegas experience, mm-hmm. and, like, they incorporate the hotel into the entertainment venues.
Yeah.
So, like, you could get a full-on hotel room / cabana that overlooks the pool party at some of these places.
Sure.
And I don't know what they charge, but they're outrageous. What if I told you that the hotel's connected to the stadium, into the restaurants, into the bars, into the casino,
right.
and that you could rent the luxury suite isn't rented by the season. It's rented by the night, and it comes with a hotel room attached to it that turns into a club that overlooks the game. What would somebody pay for that?
Right.
You know, like, I don't know, 50 grand, 60 grand to come in for the game stupid money. You've got the game. You've got a hotel room. You've got access to all the entertainment stuff that's going on. I think it's just a different thing. You know, it becomes like, and then that goes into, I know that they want to build something that is intertwined with entertainment, and they want to have more concerts, and they want to have more shows, and
sure.
they want to do all these other entertainment things. Like, I think they want to build a mini entertainment complex. That's not happening in Maryland.
Mm-hmm.
Not in any place
right.
I can think of.
No, you're right. There are too many venues that people would rather go if you're already putting a new thing in Maryland. You're absolutely right. There's too much.
I mean,
much.
Like, if MGM wasn't in National Harbor, it'd be the perfect place to put it. But because they're already there,
yeah.
there ain't no way that they're down with that. You know, like,
no, for sure.
no chance. So in Virginia, it's world is your oyster. Pick a plot, build whatever you want. And so after hearing Youngkin say that, I'm like, well, the wheels have been greased now. It's heading downhill. And I'm going to assume it's going to happen pretty fast. So I bet you by the middle of this year, we hear that the stadium complex, whatever it looks like, will be in the state of Virginia. Now it's just a matter of where. That's all.
I mean,
now. They have to start building something. So
well,
time's now.
It's also, too, it's the timing of it all. I mean, they've got a new name and a new rebrand and probably a new quarterback they're going to roll and trot out there, you know, for, you know, over the summer. And they're going to want... They're going to want their new beginnings moment, essentially. And that's a part of it, to announce the stadium. Even though, you know, 90% of the roster is going to be gone by the time that new stadium rolls around. It's not going to shock me one bit if we find out where it's going at the bare minimum. Plus, I've told you this too. The fact that they were already sharing with season ticket holders different kind of payment options and
uh-huh.
what to expect from that. And that was last August. Yeah, I mean, you don't have that conversation with your season ticket holders and put that bug in everybody's ear without doing that within a year, you know, without having that plan sit in front of them, you know, more than a year later. I just don't see that happening either. So,
and here's the reality with modern fans and like, the ticket's not enough anymore. People want,
trust me, that was voiced
more
in,
than
that, in that meeting. Trust
people
me,
people want more than that. So let's say they built out this entertainment complex. How do they incentivize you beyond just going to the games if you were to buy season tickets? Well, if you had VIP access to all of these different options that are occurring in and around this complex, you know, outside of incentivizing you with, you know, merchandise and maybe discounts on food and beverage and all that
sure.
stuff. But if you were a Washington Gold member and that meant you get 15% off every dinner you go to in these restaurants that are attached to this facility, or you get free play coupons when you go into their casino, or you get a free night at the hotel once or twice a year, I think it becomes a very different thing. It also incentivizes the people to keep coming back to the facility and using it over and over.
Not
if you
sure.
buy season tickets, we're going to give you first access to the concerts that come through here if you want to buy access to them. Like, you know, that's what we're talking about now. I mean, that's what we should be talking about now.
I agree. I brought that specific point up with the people at that season ticket holder meeting last year, saying, like, I go to a million concerts a year, man. I travel to other cities specifically to go see concerts. If you gave me something like that, and the answer I was given, I was super disappointed with. They were like, well, that depends on the artist. And I'm like, no. You're the franchise. Like, you can tell me that there's a set allotment that every time you make a deal with that. So I am with you. The fact, though, that like the answer I got was super disappointing last year, hopefully tells me, though, that like they're gonna consider that I did ask about that. So
right
I'm
now
with
the
you.
Answer is not no. Right now the answer is not no.
That's pretty much what I wanted, and I didn't get that actually. But I'm with you though. Like, you know, I don't know if I'm gonna have my season tickets at the new stadium. It's a legitimate conversation I need to have. But like, you're right though. If you said, hey, we're going to give you priority for 1 week of the season where you get to stay at the hotel, not for free, but we're going to give you first access if you want to stay, you know, one Correct. Of these games. So you don't have to drive the hour from Bethesda to wherever the new stadium is going to be. Yeah. I'd be down with that. Like, so I'm with you. There are ways to go about this. I just hope the right people are making those decisions and not treating it as, well, season tickets are season tickets. That should be enough. Like, not in this area anymore. I can tell you that much. Like, People are not going to buy season tickets just to have season tickets anymore. They want a little bit more. And I will tell you this, the team has gone above and beyond lately to add a little bit, to sweeten the pot a little bit. So I just hope that continues with the new stadium whenever it gets there, that they continue to do that.
Incentivize them.
Yeah.
If you incentivize the people, they might be more likely to go to the games and not give them up.
Like,
they might be
you.
More likely to go, if you incentivize them to do so. I do think down the road, too, I think it's going to be interesting in seeing how this works. I'm waiting to see how all leagues get the secondary market back into their control in some way, so that one, they control the exchange, so they get all the money, right?
Of
like of the exchange of the tickets, you know, or at least take that piece out of it. And secondarily, hopefully try to control who's going in and out. I could see that this is a problem that I think they probably want to try to get their hands around and fix. And plus, it's the secondary market's such a massive market. I can't imagine that they don't want to try to swallow that back in and get that away from the outside purveyors who are making all the money on it.
I'll weigh in with you on that, though. You know, the like when Ticketmaster made it the official resale site of the NFL, like, they get a piece of that every single time, you know, a ticket is resold on their platform. I'm sure they've got to deal with StubHub, too. Remember, there were years ago where Washington wouldn't let you sell on StubHub, and then they finally reached a deal. And so, you know, they get a piece of that. So I don't know if they care enough about it. I'm with you. The optics look, like, legitimately crazy every week to week, like, depending on what the lineup is. Like, 49ers fans are going to travel, you know, this weekend, I bet, for at least a little bit to that game in Lambeau. But, like, they've been traveling all year long. I don't know if the owners care enough about that because they're still getting a piece of the pie. They're making more money off their tickets that they already sold to you. So I don't really know how much they care about that. I think they're just making enough money off of it.
I don't know. I feel like there's something there that they can get their hands around to make this difficult for people to turn around and sell these tickets. Not just to opposing fans, but the amount of money that's made on them. They all of them complain about it. All of them. All these teams come out and say, well, you can make a pretty penny if you turn it around, right? Well, they know that. So why don't they change those rules? Like, where you are buying the tickets to the game, but you don't own them. And we own them. And if you want to resell them, you can put them up on our marketplace. And if we resell them, then you don't have to pay for them. But like, you're on the hook for that amount of money to go to the, and if you just want to go to the game, they're yours. Like, but you can't transfer them and you can't sell them without us saying so.
That's a problem though. Cause if I'm paying for season tickets, I want control over them. Like, I get what you're saying. And I kind of agree with what you're saying, but you get into a weird marketplace there where if you buy season tickets, they're not your season tickets. You just happen to be like, have the right to go. I don't know.
I feel like it's kind of like a hotel though. Like, I can't transfer a hotel room to somebody. It doesn't work that way. Like, you can't do that. You have to cancel. That's it. You have to cancel.
I mean, but the same thing though. Like,
I can't transfer a plane ticket to somebody. I have to cancel the plane flight.
No, that's
you. I have a
no,
seat
you're right.
on the plane. That's it. But, and like, if I can't go or I don't want to go, I can't trade the plane ticket to somebody. I can't do that.
Yeah, but welcome
and
to
get $500 more from them. If I could do that, I would buy up plane seats and resell them on a secondary market.
Don't give anyone ideas. That's the next thing we're going to deal with.
But that's the point. They don't let you do that. They control their marketplace. They're like, you can't sell this plane ticket to anybody else.
house. Well,
it's yours, and if you show up, will you sit in it? But, like, you can't then, if there's a surge in pricing, you can't then sell that ticket. Everybody would buy up every Christmas flight, you know, and, like, resell it is what would happen.
Here's the main problem, though. If you start barking up that tree, and this is why it'll never happen, Ticketmaster then has a lot of questions to answer why platinum tickets are sitting there right when tickets go on sale for four times as much value, yeah, and they're coming from the actual venue. I'm just saying, you're going to bark up a tree that no one else wants to bark up, because I deal with this all the time, but I also think that's the incentive of having season tickets. I put up all of the money to go to 10 games. This year, one of them won't matter. All the other years, two of them don't matter. And so I put up with all that BS. I have the right to do with my tickets whatever I want. I mean, you dealt with this too. I understand where you're coming from, but that is what comes with the territory at that point. And so I'm with you. If there's some kind of marketplace where you can sell them to another, you know, your fans, great. But other than that, the internet makes it too easy, man. That's the problem. It's I get to throw my tickets up with two clicks on my phone, and I have $1,880 deposit into my bank account right away whenever my tickets sell. Like, it's easy. So that's the other problem. I get what you're saying, but you have to combat the internet, and that ain't gonna happen. Like, it's an avalanche that you're just not gonna be able to shovel out of.
They would have to change their rules. They would just have to be like, here's the situation. Uh-huh. You can buy these tickets, and if you tell us you want to resell them, we'll put them on the open market, and the highest bidder will get them, and we will give you a cut of that, but that's it. And if they don't, you're on the hook for paying the face value of what the ticket is to us.
I mean,
if you tell us you don't want to put it up on the market, we're expecting that you're gonna go, right? And, like, they're yours and you can go. Like, if you pay $100 to go to the, you know, you pay $200 for two tickets, $100 a piece, right? And they're yours to go to the game. If you decide you want to sell them, you got to sell them through their marketplace, and they're giving you a cut of the profit of it if they sell, but you're on the hook if they don't. And that's it, period. Like, sorry. That's what I would do if I were them.
I get what you're saying, but it's a free market, though. Like, you're having a really complicated conversation of what am I paying for then at that point? Like,
you're paying for two tickets to a game that if you use them, you go to the game. Period.
Okay, but still,
they're still yours to go to the game.
Right, but
stopping you from doing is buying them for the purpose of reselling them. That's what I'm stopping you from doing.
That's fine. I understand where you're getting from, but, like, once again, it's just, the problem here is ticket brokers have mucked the market for the Joe the Fan guys like me. When I actually do, though, just want to sell one game because the season's lost and I don't want to go to FedEx. Like,
so, but you can tell, you get to tell the marketplace, put it up for sale, and anybody who wants to buy it can. The team resells it. I mean, I don't know why they haven't gotten a hold of this. Everything's digital now anyway.
I mean, I'm with you. Here's
you
what
can't transfer the tickets. That's all, period.
Yeah, that's not gonna apply.
You could go, like, they're, if you pay for them, they're yours to go, right? But if you choose not to, that's on you, and you can't resell them.
Yeah, I mean, no way.
If we resell them,
you put them up on tickets.
StubHub. Okay, if you put them up on StubHub, there's no guarantee that they sell to anybody else.
No, of course, but I also know if I put up any of the NFC East games, they're all going to sell. And so that's what I'm
saying. In general, yes. Yeah, like, in general, they will.
I understand where you're coming from. There's no way. It's got to be a free market. Like,
I don't know. That's what I would do. Well, I don't know. Because I look at some of these other things and I'm like, you can't put your airline tickets up on a secondary market and sell them. You're not allowed to do that.
Here's what I mainly would do. If you're a ticket broker and they know it, I think you have to pay some kind of fee to throw your tickets into the marketplace. I mean, that's really what it should be, because, like, even the Nationals,
you pay a fee, right? Like, you pay a fee, and then the other fees go back to them too. Like, I'm just surprised they've allowed this to balloon the way it has.
I've said this too. Baseball or football needs to take a note out of baseball sometimes too. Like, look, I've got two season tickets, but my parents live here, right? And sometimes you want to go to a game as a family, which we did for the Cowboys game, but we're all sitting separately. What is to stop you from having a more baseball-centric approach where I could trade in my two Eagles tickets, but then you give me four tickets to the Cowboys game together? Granted, I get it. There's, like, different price points, but I'm a season ticket holder. You know I'm going to the game. Let's have an open conversation about that too. Then,
if you did that, though, who are you displacing to get those extra two tickets from the other game?
What I'm getting at there is most likely, we're talking FedEx Field, there's plenty of open seats that you can shift around and find four open, and then you've got not only the pair that I'm giving you for the Eagles, you have my pair for the Cowboys game too in your hand now as well. Like you find a new set of four. Like you don't have to necessarily displace anybody. So I'm just saying you could have that approach as well. Have a certain amount of tickets that are just always open because you're going to sell them anyways. That's a conversation I'd be willing to have. Baseball tickets are great with that. If you have a full season of Nats tickets, man, the Nats used to let you trade in any game for any other game. They don't care as long as you were kind of evening out and going and you know being in the ballpark. So that's another thing there, too. Like, I'm also thinking Washington, they need to start really approaching the 2-4 game kind of packs, too. Like, that's a much easier commitment for a lot of people. Oh, only two games that I'm going to go to this year? One of them is the Cowboys game? Great, I'll go do that. Oh, four games and two of them are NFC East games? Great. They need to start approaching that and pushing that on people, especially my age, to go, hey, we don't need you all for, you know, eight games or nine games, but hey, these two or these four, hey, we're going to give you a deal on these as long as you're there. And if you go, we're going to give you X, Y, or Z. So, I mean, they could go that route too. The other one is go to the college athletic routes, right? You go to like Maryland basketball games or football games, you get loyalty points that get you something or higher priority for certain things too.
I agree. That's another one.
If you go for a clean slate of Washington football team games, you get a set of perks that no one else has in the stadium, whether that's a pre-sale for concerts or you get the first look at certain merchandise or whatever, or you get to stand on the sideline at training camp, whatever you want to make that. It's very easy to do that too, where it's linked to your account. They know that it's you. You swipe in, and all of a sudden, you went 8-for-8 or 9-for-9 in this case for this season, you know, for this upcoming season. Then all of a sudden, that's another extra set of perks. I'm willing to have those conversations more than the other.
Incentivize people for showing up because the object is to get more of our people in the stadium. They're going to show up and go, then we're going to give you that discount at the restaurant, discount at the casino, discount at the hotel, early access to concert tickets, all of that type of stuff. Maybe next year you get a game of free parking for doing that. Whatever it is, incentivize them.
You season ticket holder, you get free parking to that Taylor Swift concert at the new stadium. You know what I mean? Like something's it ain't hard. It's something really tiny that really does go a long way. It is not hard to satisfy people.
Every
that
year you got new gear, which shows up at your house. If you went to all the games, is the new jersey of your choice, or the new shirt, or the new hat, or whatever it is.
You're overthinking it. Give me a stupid quarter zip that says Clean Sweep Gold Club or something that I went to every game. It's seriously not hard. You know, for you to make fans a little bit happier on days where they're not in the stadium. So it's easy.
I agree. All right, let me take a quick break. I want to get into all the other football stuff going on, including Deshaun Watson and Russell Wilson, who went on the Manning cast last night. Brad Weiss, I show you ESPN 630, the sports capital. Brad Weiss, I show you ESPN 630, presented by Flight by Yingling. Raise the bar with the next generation of light beer. ESPN just tweeted this. Tom Brady is older than every opposing NFC head coach still in the playoffs.
That's ridiculous.
That is ridiculous. All right, quarterback land. Nick Caserio, Texans GM, went on Sports Radio 610 in Houston today, asked whether, and this is my theory, the potential hiring of Brian Flores would be potentially to result in Deshaun Watson not leaving Houston and sticking around. When they fired David Culley, my theory was they're going to go hire Brian Flores or a Deshaun-approved coach to come in here and keep him.
I called that from the get-go. The second we heard that the Dolphins were not going to pursue him because Flores was gone, I had him and Deshaun linked the whole step of the way.
Yes. Or a Deshaun-approved coach.
Yes, of course. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, whoever that is, right? Whoever that is. Anyway, he went on the radio, and the Houston Chronicle wrote that he said this on the radio today, that more than likely is not going to be the case. So he said this about it. He said, I think we have to be open-minded and just take the information and process it and ultimately make the decision that we feel makes the most sense for everybody involved, whatever that looks like, which means nothing's changed, even with the firing of Culley and even with Miami apparently a closed door to Watson, that he still is not going to return to Houston and will be traded.
I mean, that sounds about right then.
So I'll ask it again. You willing to give up a few first-round picks to get this guy here, assuming that the legal stuff is put behind him?
Assuming the legal stuff is put behind him and he has the legitimate press conference and legitimate apology and, like I said, goes through the Michael Vick treatment of speaking for women's groups and being heavily involved, which, like I said, is a huge if all across the board, yes. But all that stuff needs to be involved, and they need to portray that to the public too, not just say it's going to happen, but give clear-cut examples of how he's going to be involved moving forward.
All right, let me ask another one. Here's another one I think is a distinct possibility of somebody I think may be surprisingly available. If Russell Wilson or Deshaun Watson goes to Chicago, would you want Justin Fields?
I saw enough of Fields that I liked, but I didn't love much of what Fields did in his first year.
I liked him a lot. Granted, I didn't see all the games. I saw a few, the ones where they were playing opponents when we were, you know, about to play them. So I saw a few, and I really liked what I saw, like really liked it. Mm-hmm. He fits the exact profile of what they're looking for, like the mobile quarterback with a good arm, like they're looking for that. And he'd be on a rookie contract. I'm down, actually. Like if something could be worked out, if we're not going to get Deshaun or we're not going to get Russ, I'm down if Chicago is going to get one of them, that we figure out how to get Fields. Now, my guess is Houston or Seattle might want him back.
Why wouldn't they want him? And not to mention,
I don't know. Chicago they might want, but I think they can flip Fields personally. But like, my gut says if one of those two teams is actually trading this person, that Fields is going back to that other team. But if he's not, I would take a strong interest in that possibility if he was available. Strong interest in that.
Well, it's going to be up to the team that is trading their quarterback to them, because the Bears, didn't they give up next year's first to move up to get Fields? So
I believe so, yeah.
Mm-hmm. If not more, right? They might have given up more, but I think it was I think it was just this last or this next year's. But as I'm saying, it's going to be their pick.
This is rare that a GM and coach get a rookie quarterback in the top 10 and both get fired a year later.
It's true.
So true. Not only do you have a new coach coming, and not only, you know, like Haskins got brought in, but like they only changed, they did change the coach GM, I guess. They did do that the second year. They did, because Rivera came in on his second year. And so they did do that too. Same thing.
Right.
First round pick is here, whole new administration in around them. So we don't know how they're going to feel about whoever's coming in there. I mean, Russ already said he would play in Chicago last year. And I don't know how Deshaun feels about it. It sounds like he wants to be in warm weather. But again, now that Miami's off the table here.
Yeah, where are you going next? Yeah.
Where are you going?
In Chicago.
Where are you going?
Chicago is a marketing, you know, opportunity. You know, that's as good as any other opportunity across the country. By the way, the Bears only moved last year's first round pick. That was it.
Oh.
So it probably will not take much.
Because they only moved up a couple spots?
Yeah.
They moved up a couple spots.
Yeah, they moved up with the Giants. So the Giants popped down to 20, but they still got a first round pick this year. So that's why the Giants have those two top 10s.
Extra picks.
I'd forgotten where the extra one came from. But that being said, it means Chicago isn't working with a bare cupboard. They can touch on the 23 and 24 picks, but also it's going to be up to the team that trades. Do they want Fields back, which is a significant value, or do you trade Fields to, you know, Washington, and then you want Washington's assets to come back to you in that trade too? It's going to be up to the team whether they actually want it, what they want or not.
This is two-pronged. Like, if either Deshaun or Russ is willing to go to Chicago, does Seattle or Houston want Fields back in that trade?
Sure.
We don't know the answer to that, right? We don't know the answer that. Maybe they do, maybe they don't. If not, Chicago, it could either be a three-team trade, or it could be, and in fact, in Chicago's case, they may be like, well, to get Deshaun here, we're not just giving him Fields, we got to give him something else. Well, what if we involved Washington and they gave up Daron Payne to Houston to make this happen, that sent Fields back to Washington and their first round pick or whatever right?
Yeah.
Because as of right now, I'm waiting to see Mel's first mock draft, which apparently is coming out tomorrow. The CBS Sportsline one today has got three quarterbacks going in the top 11. Matt Corral to Carolina at 6. Kenny Pickett to Denver at 9. Malik Willis to Washington at 11. I mean, honestly, I gotta be honest with you, if that's what it's going to be, I actually would rather have Fields.
Yeah.
I would right now.
Yeah, I agree.
I would. I'd rather have Fields. Like, I've seen him play. I think there's a lot of good there. He looked a lot like a rookie to me, but I think there's something really to work with here, and I think he's a superior athlete. So I would love to get him in here if that's what's going to happen. I would love to see that happen.
I think, though, all right, if you're a Washington fan, then you're going to have to root for Houston here, because Houston, I think, would probably just roll with Mills at that point. They're high on him, and I thought Mills
They may want as many assets as possible without another quarterback.
That's
coming
right.
In.
That's right.
That's what I said. This comes down to, if they're trading him, do they want Fields back? Because clearly he'd be in the deal,
or
right?
What, Mills was a third round pick? What if the Texans are now trying to dangle Mills out there and try to get like a second round pick out of it? I could see that happening too, because, you know, we don't know what Megachurch is thinking down there. So who knows?
Right. So if you want Watson, you got to give up 3-4 first round picks or a mixture of it, right?
That's right.
If
yeah.
they don't like Fields and Chicago wants to get him, well, how do they get the assets to make this happen? They've got to have a third team, which means Fields goes somewhere for someone else's first round pick that they can then ship back.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think that's very in the realm of possibility.
Like, someone get Tommy Shepard on the phone so he can do this for the football team.
Who's the GM of the Bears is the question. Who's the GM of the Bears?
Right?
Like, we don't know who that is.
Who that is.
So
yeah,
we don't like that person's going to come in. Are they under, not unlike Rivera was, somewhat of a directive that you kind of have to like the first round quarterback that we have because he's our guy? Or are they going, you're free to evaluate whatever you want, and if you decide to get a different quarterback, we're okay with you doing that? Because when Rivera came in, I think we all know what the score was. They just didn't say you have to be with him forever, but you're going to give him a fair evaluation. And he did.
Right.
Is the new GM in Chicago going to be told you have to give Fields time? Or are they going to say, if you find a deal where you get rid of him and get an established quarterback in here, have at it? I don't know. That's up to the Bears ownership. Right. So we don't know.
I will say this as a Washington fan. I want Nick Caserio involved. He seems crazy. And I think you could convince him. I think you could convince him to take one of the defensive players.
So do I.
And like fall in love with them. And then they're going to think it's a great idea. So I want the Texans to be involved. I want to invite them to the table and say, how you guys doing? Let's talk about this Deshaun guy. And we have another team over here that's kind of interested. Let's all have a conversation together.
Yeah.
As long as you guys are at the table, though, we can
talk. I think to have the conversation about one of these type of deals, I actually think Washington's going to be part of a three-team deal.
That's
because to get Wilson or Deshaun is going to take a lot of assets. And that's a hard thing to kind of pull off. Unless you have a third team that's involved, that's taking something on that gives back to the other team what they want. So I don't know. I think it's possible. Last night, Russell Wilson was on the Manning cast, and apparently there was an understanding that he was.
That's right. Yes.
Which is why you didn't hear about it today.
Yeah, of
because
course not.
That obviously would have been the viral moment from last, outside of Eli wearing, you know, the death row chain.
Well, and
like the
Peyton,
moment. And Peyton cursing.
Yeah.
Yeah. And once again, we found out Eli's the funny one of the family, where he, with perfect timing, goes, never mind.
Yeah.
Just moves on.
It
like,
so good.
Yeah, it's good. Right. Like, so they had otherwise the news out of the Manning cast would have been Russell Wilson talking about what he's going to do, and that didn't happen last night.
I do want to pull the curtain back on that. We've all been there where Peyton's been. He just says, I can't hear bleep. We've all been there at one point or another.
Yeah.
So that was fantastic. It was
but you
so
learn
good.
With a hot mic, you don't curse.
You don't cuss. Yes, exactly.
You don't cuss.
Right. Exactly right.
Yes.
You just learn. Yeah.
That's right. You learn. All right. That's where we are. Be right back. Bray Wise, the show, ESPN 630 Sports Capital. All right, welcome back. Bray Wise, the show, ESPN 630 Sports Capital. One quick thing I just haven't touched on today that happened right after we went off the air was Mike Mayock was fired yesterday as the GM of the Raiders. I was like thinking about him last night. I'm like, did he do a bad job? And I don't know that he did.
I mean, when Antonio Brown's calling you a cracker on Hard Knocks before he's playing a game, probably means you're not the...
They took a risk on him, and that was blew up in their face, obviously. So that one,
that
was bad.
Draft pick's really bad.
Leatherwood
though.
Pick was too high. That was bad. They have had, like anyone else, they've had hits, though. Like, Jonathan Abram is good. Like, he's really good.
That's true.
Max Crosby was a hit, total hit for them. The Ruggs thing blew up in his face. That's bad.
Who was the other first-round pick that...
Jacobs turned out to be a very good running back that they picked. So he's had hits and misses, I guess.
Who's the other first-round pick, though, that got released this year because he, like, showed pictures with guns and stuff, too? Like, I get what you're saying. They seem to be 50-50, but their misses have been really bad and really problematic. And I
agree.
I think you know what? I bet you it was probably just a... I'm thinking in Davis's shoes here, it was probably just a good jumping off point. Like, thank you, Mayock. Like, you probably didn't do as terrible as everyone thought you were going to do, but we need a breath of fresh air in here. This has been a bad year. Like, I think it's just a good jumping off point for them. I don't think Mayock, I think I'm kind of with you. Like, Mayock didn't do terrible, but just the misses were really bad. And it's been one of those years where cleaning house is probably just the best thing to go right now in Vegas.
Yeah. It was funny. I did an interview with Mike Tannenbaum for a different podcast that I do recently about his thing called the 33rd team. And he just offhanded said, you know, you're doing pretty good if you hit 60% of your draft picks. And he just offhanded said that. And I was like, I never really thought of it that way. You know, like, because you are going to miss. There's no way you're going to, get everything right. It's like, but when you get hits, you know, or you have one draft where there's three or four guys that like turn out to be big time starters and difference makers, that's when things turn for you big time. So I don't know. I mean, like, I don't think Mayock did a bad job there. I just, but you know, and I don't think it's like everyone was like, why aren't they firing this coach? You know what? Those players like that coach and clearly they're going to get a new head coach, but maybe they don't want to fire him because they want him to stay on the staff. That's a possibility. Like, they may hope that he just stays on the staff there. And I don't know if that's, you know, this happens all the time. So that could be happening out there with them right now. So we'll see.
I think what was happening, though, is, especially with that Leatherwood pick, I get it. You see your guy, you want to draft him. But, like, in the NFL now, it's all about value. And if you're overdrafting a guard, or I guess he was a tackle, and then they moved him to guard, already that tells you, like, you were in a little bit more above your head. Like, Christian Darrisaw went five picks after him. I'm just saying, you can't overdraft your guy because you love him. You've got to get the value because those players are what ends up being the difference maker for you. And so to reach for a guy like that, that was bad. That was really bad.
Yeah.
So
Yeah, it was.
You can't miss on your top guys is what I'm getting at there. You can't misfire on those guys.
I suppose. The safety they picked, though, that guy Abrams, good. Yeah. He's real good.
Yeah.
So they've done all right. Like they've had like Max Crosby's as good a defensive end as you're going to find, and he was like a fourth round pick for them. So they've done all right. Like he's done all right out there. Anyway, I wonder what TV stations, what network's going to pick him up. I would imagine if he wants to go back in TV, go back tomorrow.
Oh, yeah.
This isn't Matt Millen. He could go back tomorrow.
Yeah, I think.
Totally. I think he could go back tomorrow.
100%.
So anyway. I just saw that Troy Aikman is getting into the low-calorie beer game. So that's an interesting one.
Yeah, I saw that. Whatever.
Good luck to you for that. Good luck to you.
It's fine. I mean,
that's a crowded field. That's a pretty crowded field.
I forgot to bring this up to you. You're watching this wasn't the Cowboys game. Did you hear him bitching about not getting the Cowboys game?
Well, one, I mean, I was laughing at it because I go, that's on CBS and you don't work for CBS.
Right. Exactly.
So
I couldn't believe out loud.
It'd be one thing if it was both Fox games and you're like, why'd you send us to the junkie one? Yeah. Like, I would hear him out on it, but like, he doesn't work for CBS.
Yeah. I couldn't believe just how much of a bitch he was being when he was doing that. And even Joe was kind of like, oh, come on. Like,
yeah.
Come on, man. You know how this works. Like, just stop
I'd rather
it.
Be at that game. Oh, I'm sorry. You're calling Tom Brady's
playoff
game. Yeah, that sucks.
Yeah, it wasn't nothing.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It was a nothing burger. Yeah.
It did, right. It reminded me of the one time I had courtside seats at the Wizards, and it was against the Bulls, and Scott Skiles was the coach, and I was 2 feet away from him for the entire game. And the most amazing part is you hear everything, and the Bulls are I can't remember who was up big late, and Scott Skiles asked for some bench warmer to come in and play out the final few minutes, and the guy gave him a look like, really? And I heard Scott Skiles say, oh, I'm so sorry I'm putting you in an NBA game.
Right.
Oh, I'm sorry. It was hilarious. I was like, oh, is this offending you that you're going into an NBA basketball game? You don't like playing in it? I was like, that's amazing.
I was really, really hoping Romo at some point during the broadcast was going, Man, I'm having so much fun calling this game, aren't you, Jim?
Oh, it'd be crazy.
Just as a sideswipe to Aikman.
Yeah,
or saying
that would have been
I would
have
loved to call a future Hall of Famer Tom Brady's game. That would have been that's a dream of mine to call one of those games, you know. Yeah.
That would have been great.
Just to swipe back at Aikman.
I agree.
He probably didn't even know what was happening at the time.
I know. I heard him do it and I was like, wow, really?
Right.
Like, you don't like being at Tom Brady's playoff game?
Also,
really? Okay.
It's like, dude, I know you're comfortable clearly in your position. You know how many people are watching you right now and you're bitching in front of them? Come on, man. Come on.
Holy moly. Yeah, like, come on, man. Like, relax.
It's all fun. It's all fun, man. It's all fun.
I know. All right. Last thing, we got Caps and Jets tonight.
Yep.
Off of their weird weekend with all their old ex-coaches.
Yes.
All right. What do you got tonight? Caps, Jets here. What do you got?
I don't know, man. I don't know anymore. Vitek Vanacek starts tonight. Great. The Jets.
Oh, man. You're so sad about the Capitals now.
I just don't know what to expect anymore. Like, I really don't. They should beat them. I'll tell you that. They should beat the Jets. They have a better roster.
They're an old team. I know exactly what to expect. There are going to be nights where you're like, oh, my God, that's why there's a bunch of Hall of Famers there. There are going to be other nights where you're like, that team's out of gas.
They should beat the Jets tonight. Home game. Vitek's actually, like, I wouldn't call him on a heater, but he had a really good game last game out. So maybe that magic continues. There's no John Carlson, no Sheary, no Oshie. But what else is new? The Caps have been playing shorthanded basically the entire season. They should win tonight. I will not give you any which way whether they will or not, though, because I just don't know what team we're getting out on the ice these days.
And so. What, Backstrom can't skate anymore, right?
Well,
is that?
Yeah, he looks very slow. And by the way, Garnet Hathaway, who had a terrible game last game, elevated to the top line in practice today. I don't expect that to stick around, hopefully.
Oh, man.
If that does happen, they will lose, but I expect that to just be a smokescreen for when Laviolette's changing things up.
So I should expect they're going to sneak into the playoffs is what you're saying at this point.
There's a clear cut. Go look at the points differential. Like, there's a clear cut line that they'll be able to
sneak
in.
So they'll get in.
Yeah, they'll get into the dance for sure.
But now it's feeling like what I thought at the beginning of the year, 6-7, something like that.
Sounds about right.
They're not the top seed anymore. That's over.
Well, and
yeah,
I didn't
that's
expect,
over.
I really, truly didn't expect the Rangers to be as good as they are. They're in first place right now in the division. So, you know, kudos to them. We made fun of them all summer, and it actually helped.
Yep.
And so that's the one I didn't expect because it really did shake out. They were going to be at a bare minimum, like the third best team, and now they're the fourth best because the Rangers have straight up knocked them down.
Look,
there,
man.
So.
Listen, you know I love Ted. You know I love him. He has a huge blind spot. He's too loyal.
I know
you got to make some cutthroat decisions on the ice and on the court. You have to do it.
I know you're referencing Backstrom, but at the same time, when he signed that deal, he looked great. So I'm just saying it's bad luck right now from that deal.
Old as dirt, my friend. Old as dirt. You got to make decisions at some point.
Yes.
Or you got to move Kuznetsov to make room to do stuff like that.
Or
like
that.
You got to do something.
Or that. Yes.
I know. They didn't do that either. They didn't do that either.
Right.
They must not have got a good offer for him.
That being said,
the backstory on that is they must not have got a good offer for him.
That being said, I know you got to get to Ben Standick here in a sec. But that being said, if Kuznetsov isn't as good as he is right now, they're nowhere close in the standing. So, you know, because they didn't trade him, I think you have to look at it from that point that he actually helped keep them afloat. So
that was a roll of the dice, though.
Totally. And at some point 100% agree.
At some point this season, there will be a month where it's snake eyes with him, for sure.
I agree.
And when that happens, then we'll have a real conversation.
Tonight's
about
game 40, and then game 41 on Thursday. That's halfway through the season. We are due for Evgeny Kuznetsov going AWOL at some point. So, yeah. Exactly.
Right. At some point, he's Thelma and Louise. He's going off the cliff. I don't know when, but it's happening.
Right. Correct. Exactly.
You know, then we'll see. And hopefully in April, he feels like playing again. You know, hopefully.
Right. That's right.
Flap the wings, hopefully. Okay. All right. I'll see you tomorrow. Ben Standing next. Brainwash the show. ESPN 630 Sports Capital.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit. And you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.